How old is the earth? I believe this is a critically important topic. There are some Christians who say it's not important. Oh, I think it's very important, as we'll see in a few minutes here. Jesus said, all things were created by Him. Colossians 1. By Him were all things created. Jesus made everything, so He probably knows how old it is. And He said, have you not read that He which made them at the beginning made them male and female? Same thing in Mark 10:6. That was the beginning. The Bible says death came by sin. The question is very simple. Did man bring death into the world, like the Bible says? Or did death bring man into the world, like evolution says? Total opposite, folks. Somebody's wrong. The Bible says man brought death into the world, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Some people say, well, didn't plants die before Adam sinned? Well, you better decide if plants are alive first. We cover that on video number 7. Are plants really alive in the biblical sense? The Bible says Adam was the first man. It's real clear on this topic. It says Adam lived 130 years and had a son. His boy lived 90 years and had a son. That boy lived 105, then that boy lived 90 years and had a son. If you look at the dates in the Bible and add them up, you're going to get about 6,000 years ago. Roughly 4,000 B.C. Now, not millions, that's for sure. So the Bible teaches about 6,000 years ago, God made everything. 4,400 years ago, there was a big flood. The time before the flood was very different. We'll cover more on that on video 2, what the Garden of Eden was like and why they lived to be 900 years old. But the fact is, the Bible dates add up to about 6,000. Now, I do a lot of debates at universities and radio and TV call-in talk shows, and atheists always say, well, who did Adam's sons marry? That's a good question. Who did they marry anyway? The Bible says Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden, and Cain knew his wife, and she conceived and bare a son. Well, who's his wife? Well, it doesn't say he found her there. Well, who did Seth marry anyway? Well, that's a good question, and I think a very honest, fair question. But the evolutionists are the ones that have the serious problem. See, they believe 20 billion years ago, nothing exploded and made everything in the Big Bang. And then 4.6 billion years ago, the earth cooled down, and it rained on the rocks for millions of years, turned them into soup, and the soup came alive 3 billion years ago. That's what the evolution theory teaches. Yes, boys and girls, the first self-replicating systems must have emerged in this organic soup. So they teach 20 billion years ago, Big Bang, 4.6 billion years ago, the earth cooled down, it rained on the rocks for millions of years, turned them into soup, and the soup came alive around 3 billion years ago. So great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa was soup. That's what their theory teaches. We could spend a couple hours on this one. Who did Adam's sons marry anyway? Well, the Bible says Adam lived after he begat Seth 800 years and begat sons and daughters. How many kids could you have in 800 years? Several, right? A friend of mine from Arkansas, running for Arkansas State Senate, great, godly man. He needs to get in, by the way. If you're in Arkansas, vote for him. His name is Jim Duggar, Jim Bob Duggar. Has 13 kids in 13 years. How many could he have in 800 years? Several, yeah. Keep it up, Jim. Bring them kids on. He's raising good, godly kids. That's the way to do it. Well, the Bible says Adam lived 800 years after Seth was born and had sons and daughters. So in the first generation, they married sisters. People say, married sisters? Well, now calm down. First place, there is no other choice. Secondly, who would you report them to? Thirdly, there were no laws against it till Moses gave the law. 2,500 years later, when Moses gave the law, way up here. They didn't need any laws against it for the first couple thousand years because there weren't any deformed chromosomes. You wouldn't have any deformed children. You see, everything about you is inherited. Even having children is hereditary. If your parents don't have any, you won't either. You say, wow, I never thought of that, Brother Hovind. Well, think about it. You'll see I'm right. People say, you can't marry sisters. What about genetic similarity? Adam married his rib. You talk about genetic similarity. It's not a problem in the first generation. And it's amazing. These atheists will say, well, you got inbreeding then. Well, talk about, look what you guys believe. You believe we all came from a rock. You talk about inbreeding. What's the gene pool of a rock, huh? Explain that to me. But anyway, you won't notice this reading your Bible, but when you graph it out and get one of these charts, you notice Adam lived long enough to know his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandson. I mean, Noah's daddy could have known Adam. Can you imagine a family reunion back in those days? Okay, everybody hop on the camel. We're going to go visit great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa Adam. And he's going to tell us what it was like in the Garden of Eden before the first woman ate the first man out of house and home. Now, I do tell a lot of Adam and Eve jokes, okay, because I happen to like Adam and Eve jokes. I happen to like jokes in general, but one lady said, just where would you men be without us women? I said, in the Garden of Eden. But it would be lonely. It wouldn't be worth it, okay? I'll take it like it is. Now, you also won't notice this reading your Bible. When you look at the chart, you notice Noah's son Shem lived after the flood long enough to know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I read a verse in the Bible once that really had me confused for a long time. I read a lot of verses that get me confused. And I said, read this one. I said, wait a minute. Pharaoh said to Jacob, how old are you? And Jacob said, I'm 130. And then he said, few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, but they've not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers. Strange verse. Well, when you consider Jacob could have personally known Shem, Arphaxad, Selah, and Eber, you know, if you're 130, but you know a 600-year-old living down the street, you just don't feel too old, you know? People say, the Bible's handed down generation after generation. Oh, you don't know what you're talking about, first of all. God inspired it and He preserved it. Secondly, it's all Book of Genesis written by 10 different eyewitnesses. There are 10 different authors to Genesis. We cover all that on Seminar Part 7, question and answer, who wrote Genesis. But here, the textbook says the earth is billions of years old. Jesus said the creation of Adam was the beginning. Well, was he lying, or did he not understand modern science, or was he right? How old is the earth? Textbooks in your town teach the kids, billions of years ago this happened, right? Or millions of years ago. They just throw these numbers out like they're some kind of fact. Billions of years ago. Even some Christians are going around claiming the earth is billions of years old. I debated Hugh Ross for 3 hours on the John Ankerberg show. You can get that videotape series, a whole series of tapes, me against Hugh Ross. He says the earth is billions of years old. I say, no, it's not. Quite an interesting conversation there. Who cares about the age of the earth? Well, I think this teaching of billions of years is going to put death before sin. And now you have a heresy. We cover lots more on that on the college class, CSE 101, or on our seminar part 2. Bible says death came because of man. Man brought death into the world. Well, who cares about the age of the earth? Well, number one, I think the credibility of Genesis is at stake. The question is very simple. Can the average person read that book and understand it? Or do we have to have some guru what it means? If you're in a situation where you have to have somebody tell you what that book means, you're probably in a cult. I get real nervous when somebody gets up in front of their crowd and says, well, it says in the original. In other words, you've got to have me to tell you what this really says, because you're not capable of finding it on your own. That makes me just nervous, I'll tell you right now, okay? I think the average person can read the book and understand it. We don't need anybody to tell us what it says. Secondly, the credibility of Jesus is at stake. Since he quoted that book 25 times, he must have believed in Genesis. Thirdly, nearly every other book in the Bible refers to Genesis. This is a very important topic. Now, the guys who believe in evolution really care. Because if you take away billions of years, their theory looks real silly. Jesus said, had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. He wrote of me. Let's look at some scientific ways to show the earth cannot be billions of years old. In 1999, this article came out in the newspaper announcing that the world's population had crossed over the 6 billion mark. If you don't know how much a billion is, don't worry about it, because Congress has no idea either. But in 1985, there were 5 billion people on planet Earth. In 1800, there was only 1 billion people here. Almost all textbooks agree, and almost all people who study this agree, there were around 1 billion people around 1800. It's just simple scientific fact. And everybody agrees the population is growing rapidly. Nobody argues with that. But the world is not overcrowded. Don't fall for that overcrowded propaganda going around the schools. The world's not overcrowded. The whole world's population today would fit inside Jacksonville, Florida, twice. That one city has 25 billion square feet. The world's not overcrowded. Have you driven across Nebraska? Or Kansas? Or Wyoming? Or Montana? Or drive across Wisconsin? Folks, the world's not overcrowded. You've got to fly out west like I do all the time. Man, it's not. Look out the window. It's not overcrowded. Hey, if it's overcrowded where you are, move. There's lots of places that are not overcrowded, okay? Figure it out. Not overcrowded. Come on. But back when Jesus was here, there was about 250 million people on planet Earth. 250 million. It sure looks like, from the population growth curve, that the whole population today started about 4,400 years ago. Well, that's interesting. The Bible teaches God made everything about 6,000 years ago. 4,400 years ago, there was a big flood. 8 people survived. Noah's family. If you start with a population of 8 people, having kids and grandkids and great-grandkids, you can get yourself a population of 5 or 6 billion in a few thousand years. Now, if you believe in evolution, you've got a problem. Because you think man's been here for 3 million years. Wow. In 3 million years, the population would have grown. Right now, there would be 150,000 people per square inch. That would be crowded. No, man's not been here for 3 million years. God told Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Have lots of kids. Fill it up. Have a big family. But Satan wants to destroy God's plan. God formed the world to be inhabited, he told us in Isaiah 45. That's why he did it, inhabited. But we got folks like Jacques Cousteau who said we need to reduce the population of the earth. He said we need to eliminate 350,000 people a day to save Mother Earth. Ted Turner said we need a 95% decline in population levels. Okay, Ted, you first. There are some folks who would like to reduce the population to 500 million as soon as possible. They've got their grandiose plans for a new world order with them in charge and all of us gone or slaves. But the idea is to have 500 million people. See, the Lord told the devil in the Garden of Eden, you're going to crawl on your belly and eat dust all your life. And then he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. Satan knows some seed of the woman's going to bruise his head. And so he's been trying desperately through all of humanity, history, trying to destroy every human being on the planet. He absolutely hates people. Remember when Herod wanted to kill baby Jesus in Bethlehem? What did he do? Slew all the children. Let's just be sure to get the right one. And Satan seems to want to kill all of humanity. And he's putting this idea into the heads of some of his followers that they need to reduce the population of the planet. We could talk for hours about that and get my CSE College Class 101 if you want a whole lot more on the New World Order plans on reducing the population, coming soon. Well, regardless of what happens to the population in the future, the fact is the chart today shows man's only been here about 3,000 or 6,000 years or less. 4,400 would fit fine with the population growth. If you go outside the city of Atlanta, Georgia, to the town of Elberton and go north about 7 or 8 miles, you'll see the Georgia Guidestones out in the middle of no place. They mine quite a bit of granite there. The Cherokees called this area the center of the earth. They thought that was the center of the earth right there. Well, a bunch of guys who don't know much said, wow, let's set up big rocks here. And they put these big rocks up there with 12 different languages on them that says the 10 commandments for the New World Order. Commandment number 1 for the New World Order is maintain humanity under 500 million. They think we need to reduce the population of the planet as soon as possible. It's interesting, they ran an article here recently. They said sometime in the past, man's population of man went through a bottleneck. They said it dropped down to only a few thousand people about 70,000 years ago. Well, I think they're getting close to the truth. I think it dropped down to 8 people about 4,400 years ago. Yeah. The galaxies up there are spinning, but the stars on the outside are going faster than the stars on the inside. The galaxies gradually lose their spiral shape. So the question is, if they're billions of years old, why are they still spiral-shaped? Why are there spiral galaxies? Well, to the Christian creationist, this is no problem. They're not billions of years old. Real simple. Stars are blowing up once in a while. We call it a nova or a supernova. And yet there's only about, it seems to happen about every 30 years, kind of as a rough average. When they look through the heavens, though, they find less than 300 supernova rings. That's only a few thousand years worth. Why aren't there millions of them? Some evolutionists say, well, new stars are forming to replace the ones that are blowing up. Well, that's baloney. Nobody's ever seen a star forming. We cover lots more on that on video number 7. The teachers are taught to tell their kids that red stars slowly evolve into white dwarf stars, and it takes billions and billions of years for this to happen. That's what the textbooks teach. Well, it does seem to be true that red stars apparently change to white stars, but it doesn't take billions of years for this to happen. All the ancient astronomers described Sirius as a red star. Everybody said it was red. Study back in history. Sirius was a red star. Today, Sirius is a white dwarf star. We know what happens in less than 2,000 years, yet the textbook says it takes billions of years. Some of the planets are cooling off. You can't just keep cooling off. Pretty soon, you're cooled off. I mean, if you came in the room and found a cup of coffee on the table, and I said, don't touch the coffee, it's hot. And you said, whose is it? I said, I don't know. It's been sitting there for 400 years. It's kind of hard to believe, don't you think? It's still hot after 400 years. These planets cannot be billions of years old. Jupiter has a moon called Ganymede, but it still has a strong magnetic field indicating a hot inner core. Even the atheists will admit it should have cooled off billions of years ago. But it's not billions of years old. Figure it out. Saturn has rings around it, but the rings are slowly moving away from the planet. Saturn's rings are indication that it is not billions of years old. The moon is going around the Earth. How many knew that already? The moon goes around the Earth? Okay. Did you know as the moon goes around, it's gradually getting further away? We're slowly losing the moon. It's only a few inches a year. No big deal. Nothing to worry about. Plus, there's nothing you can do about it anyway. But the moon is getting farther from the Earth every year. Now, kids, this is going to be complicated, so listen carefully. The moon is getting farther from the Earth every year. So that means that it used to be closer. How many can figure this out with no help at all? Okay? Well, if you bring the moon in closer, you start to create a problem because the moon causes the tides. Now, you folks up here in Wisconsin probably don't worry about the tides. But in Pensacola, where I live, you worry about the tides. If you brought the moon in closer, the tides would be higher. There's a law called the inverse square law. If you brought the moon into one-third the distance, you take the one-third, inverse it, and square it, it's 9 times the gravitational pull. If you run all the math on this, you'll find out about 1.2 billion years ago, the moon was whizzing around just above the surface of the Earth. That explains what happened to at least the tall dinosaurs. They got moon. You can't say it's 4.6 billion years old. I'm sorry, that's just geophysically impossible. Comets are flying around through space, but they're always losing material. That's what makes the tail on a comet, you know? The stuff is blowing off. They only last about 10,000 years. Because you can't just keep losing and losing. You know, pretty soon it's gone. It's kind of like your checkbook. See, if your outgo exceeds your income, your upkeep will be your downfall every time. Well, comets are losing material. They last about 10,000 years, and poof, they're gone. I mentioned in a seminar one time that comets indicate the solar system is less than 10,000 years old. And this one atheist went home and devoted an entire website to me, an anti-Hovind website. There are now over 400 anti-Hovind websites. I'm so proud of myself. Hey, the Bible says we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. Salt irritates. If you're not irritating somebody, you're not doing it right, folks, okay? I offer to debate all those guys any day with half my brain tied behind my back, just to make it fair. They don't want to do that, though. They all want to get me into an email debate. I say, fellas, I type 12 words a minute with 19 mistakes. I get 1,000 email a week. I'm not about to get into an email debate with anybody. Yeah, I barely got enough time to sleep and eat. It's a busy life around my place. But if you want to debate me publicly, anytime, anywhere, all of you together, you got an anti-Hovind website, put up or shut up, you just pick your spot, I'll take them all on, in Christian love, of course. But this guy on his website said, Hovind, don't you know the reason we have comets still, is because new ones are coming in from the Oort cloud. That's their answer to why we still have comets. He said in the 1950s, a Dutch astronomer named Jan Oort proposed, that means he hoped, he wished, he prayed, that there was a great shell of comets out there putting new ones in all the time. He said this Oort cloud is 50,000 astronomical units away. Well, in case you don't know, an astronomical unit is the distance from the sun to the Earth. That is called one astronomical unit. It's real hard to see Pluto without an incredibly good telescope, and Pluto is 39.44 astronomical units away. You certainly cannot see a comet that is 50,000 astronomical units away. See, actually, nobody's ever seen the Oort cloud. Oort never saw the Oort cloud. The whole thing is based on a mathematical mistake. There is no Oort cloud. But this scoffer said, if you want to use the comet argument, it's up to you to prove, beyond a reasonable doubt, that the Oort cloud and other sources don't exist. Well, now, slow down a minute, Dave. How do you prove the non-existence of anything? What he's trying to do here is called shifting the burden of proof. The liberals are really good at doing this on us, folks. It's so easy to shift the burden of proof. I'll show you how easy it is. Watch this. Suppose I said, watermelons are blue on the inside until you cut the skin. Prove I'm wrong. If all I have to do is make up a story and you got to prove it's wrong, I can keep you busy the rest of your life, can I? And if all they got to do is make up a story about an Oort cloud and I got to prove it doesn't exist, I mean, come on, that's not how science works. You got to prove it does exist. What we know is we do have comets. We know they don't last long. We know the Bible says 6,000 years. I don't have a problem with the comets. But he's trying to make it look like I've got a problem with the comets. No, no, Dave, you got the problem with the comets. I don't have a problem at all. They fit fine with my theory. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God. Evolution theory has the sun and stars coming before the earth. The Bible has the earth coming before the sun and stars. Did you know absolutely everything about the evolution theory is backwards? I have Christians all the time say, don't you think God could have used evolution? I say, well, first, that's not what the Bible says. Second, you've got a retarded God who can't do it right first time. He's got to practice. Thirdly, your God's cruel and ruthless, uses suffering, misfits, and death. You've got a different God than I do. I'm sorry. Okay, no, God did not use evolution to get us here. Everything's backwards. You know, the Bible has the earth before the sun. Evolution has sun before the earth. The Bible has oceans before land. Evolution has land before oceans. We can go on all day about the differences between these two theories. They are not compatible. Don't pretend that they are. They're not. They're incompatible. They're opposites. The psalmist said, when I consider thy heavens. Hey, kids, he says when, not if. You do yourself a favor to shut off that TV once in a while and go out and consider the heavens. Parents, if your kid likes laying in the yard looking at the clouds or looking at the stars, just leave him alone. Unless he's got some homework to do. Maybe that's the reason, you know. But it's good to take time to consider what God has made. The psalmist said, while I was musing, the fire burned. The word muse means to think. Think. English is a very cool language. Did you know a theist is a person who believes in God? If you put the letter A in front of that word, it means the opposite of. So an atheist is a person who does not believe in God. Muse means to think. Amuse means to not think. That's what the word literally means, to not think. They've got entire parks around this country where you can pay money and go do that. Have you ever heard of them before? They're called amusement parks. A place to not think. Yes. He said, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? You know, a person that spends his time considering what God has done is not impressed with what man can do. And some of you parents ought to go home and look in your kid's bedroom. And if what you see plastered all over the wall are pictures of sports heroes, think about it carefully. Your kids are being trained to meditate on what man can do. Whoa, he threw the ball through the hoop. Oh, did you see that? Oh, who's going to care in 1,000 years? Who's going to care in 20 years? Does anybody know who won the Super Bowl, 10 years ago? Does anybody care? It doesn't matter. All those grown men out there fighting over that one ball, they can all afford to go buy their own. We get all excited over dumb stuff. Who's going to care in 1,000 years? It's been estimated there's enough stars that everybody on Earth can own 2 trillion of them for yourself. Go spend some time looking at them. The Bible says, speak to the earth and it shall teach thee. Did you know the earth is like a big magnet? Now, magnets always lose their strength. The earth's magnet has lost 6% of its strength in the last 150 years. The magnet is getting weaker, which means it used to be stronger, which means the earth can't be more than 25,000 years old because the heat generated from the stronger magnetic field would have destroyed life on earth. That also means carbon dating doesn't work. Cover lots more on carbon dating in question and answer time video 7. Here's an example, though. The lower leg of a mammoth carbon dated 15,000 years old. The skin was 21,000 years old. Talk about a slow birth. One part of a mammoth was 29,000 years old. Another part is 44,000. It just doesn't work, folks. We cover lots more on that on video 7. The textbooks will say, well, yes, the magnetic field is getting weaker because it's part of a pattern of reversals. The magnetic field is reversing. This is pure baloney. The magnetic field of the earth is not reversing. There are stronger and weaker magnetism areas, but not reversed. That's all part of a theory called Pangaea. How many have ever heard of Pangaea? They'll say, yes, boys and girls, millions of years ago, all the continents used to fit together. Oh, really? They don't tell the kids they shrank Africa nearly 40% to make them fit. They also don't tell them they took out all of Mexico and Central America. Hey, señor, ¿qué pasa? ¿Dónde está Mexico? Panama, Costa Rica, Guatemala. They also don't tell them what I think ought to be obvious to a kindergartner. If you take the water out of the oceans, you will notice there is dirt underneath. People say, hey, Hovind, do you think the continents were ever connected? I say, what are you talking about? They still are. What do you mean, were they? Hello, it's not hollow under the oceans, you know. They're still connected. Yeah, it's just the low places are full of water, that's all. I think the continents are moving some, no question. Okay, I like Walt Brown's hydroplate theory myself. I think that explains the whole thing. We cover that more in video 6. Okay, the Earth is spinning about 1,000 miles an hour at the equator, but the Earth is slowing down. The Earth slows down enough that every once in a while they have to add a tick to the clock to put the clocks back on schedule. New Year's Eve, 1990, they said we have to add a tick to the clock because the clocks are off by a second because the Earth is slowing down. They said the Earth slows down 1/1000 of a second every day. 1992, they did it again. Astronomy Magazine said Earth's rotation is slowing down. June is going to be 1 second longer than normal. We're going to have a leap second. Now, most people have heard of leap year. But many people have never even heard of leap second, even though we have one every year to year and a half. We have to have a leap second because the Earth is slowing down and you're putting the clocks back on schedule. Now, kids, this is going to be complicated, so listen carefully. The Earth is spinning, but it is slowing down. How many can figure this out? Okay. Which means it used to be going faster. How many can figure that out? Okay. Now, if you go back 6,000 years, this is not a problem. The Earth was spinning a little faster when Adam was here. He wouldn't notice. He didn't have a watch anyway, as far as we know. But some of these guys would like me to believe everything is billions of years old. Ooh, now you go back a few billion years, the Earth was spinning real fast. Your days and nights would be pretty quick. Get up, go to bed, get up, go to bed, get up, go to bed. You'd never get nothing done. Centrifugal force would have been enormous. The winds would have been 5,000 miles an hour from the Coriolis effect. And you think the dinosaurs lived 200 million years ago? Ooh, man, I know what happened to them. They got blown off. No, they did not live 200 million years ago. Sahara Desert has what's called a prevailing wind pattern. The wind almost always blows the same direction. This creates a problem. The hot air coming off the desert kills the trees next door, and that area becomes desert. And once that soil gets sterilized, it's real hard to bring it back. The process is called desertification. They did quite a study on Sahara, because they know it's growing about 4 miles a year today. After studying Sahara for a long time, they said, we think that desert's about 4,000 years old. So that's pretty old. But I have a question. If the Earth is millions of years old, why don't we have a bigger desert someplace? Why is the biggest desert in the world less than 4,000 years old? Well, I have a theory about that desert. Now, here's my theory. I believe about 6,000 years ago, God made everything. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. And it's pretty hard to have a desert under a flood. So the desert couldn't start growing until the flood water went down. Psalm 104, the mountains arose, the valleys sank down, the water rushed off. And so I predict, based on the Bible, the biggest desert in the world will be less than 4,400 years old. It is. Wow. Maybe the Bible's right. Did you know when they drill into the ground, sometimes they hit oil? The oil often is under incredible pressure, up to 20,000 pounds per square inch. It'll come squirting up out of the ground, like a big zip. 20,000 PSI. The guys who studied the rocks on top of the oil say the pressure of the oil is greater than the weight of overbearing rock, which really creates a problem. It should have cracked the rock in less than 10,000 years. Okay, well then I have a question. If the Earth is millions of years old, why is the oil pressure down there still? And where did the oil come from anyway? Well, nearly all scientists agree that oil comes from organisms that are squished. They're changed by heat and pressure into oil. Years ago, they learned how to make a barrel of oil in 20 minutes in the laboratory from a ton of garbage. They learned that 30 years ago. In Australia, they're taking sewage sludge and changing it to oil in 30 minutes. Sinclair has the dinosaur as their logo. They say the dinosaurs turned to oil. Yes, boys and girls, it mellowed for 80 million years. I don't think so. I have a theory about the oil. Now, here's my theory. I believe about 6,000 years ago, God made everything. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. Now, in that flood, lots of critters and people drowned. They got buried by the gravel and the rocks and the mud and the sand. It got pretty heavy on top, and it squished them into oil. So the oil's down there from the people and animals that drowned in the flood. Which means, if you stop and think about that, you drove over here today on some of your ancestors. Next time you're at the gas station pumping them in there, you say, bye, Grandpa. You should have listened to Noah. He told you it was going to rain. It did, too, didn't it? Oh. I was preaching in Denver one time, and some guys came to the meeting, and they said, Hovind, we know you teach the Earth is 6,000 years old. We'd like to prove to you you're wrong. Come with us, please. They took me to the Denver National Ice Core Laboratory. They've got this freezer, huge freezer, about the size of this auditorium. We walked in there, 36 below zero. I got Florida blood, folks. That was cold. I know for you that's summertime, 36 below. The Wisconsinites. We walked in there. They said, Mr. Hovind, we go to the South Pole and to Greenland, and we drill holes through the ice. And we save the middle part of the hole. Has to be a government job, you know. And saving ice holes, yeah. We can drill these holes down in the ground, and we save the core sample in this freezer. We'd like you to see these core samples. I said, oh, that'd be very interesting. I walked in the freezer. They showed me these core samples, and they said, Hovind, you see these rings on here? I said, yep, I see them. You can see them very clearly. They said, what happens in the summer, the snow melts a little bit, and then it refreezes and makes clear ice. But in the winter, the snow packs, and it traps the air bubbles, and it makes white ice. So these rings, clear, it shows them dark here, you know, dark, light, represent summer, winter, summer, winter, summer, winter. They said, now the deepest hole we ever drilled is 10,000 feet. And you can count the rings, 135,000 of the annual rings. Now why do you go around teaching people the earth is only 6,000 years old? I said, fellas, aren't you assuming those are annual rings? So they didn't know about the lost squadron, apparently, but some airplanes ran out of gas during World War II. It hit a storm, had turned back. They crash-landed in Greenland. A rich guy from Kentucky got a brilliant idea to go get those airplanes off the ice. How many have ever heard of the lost squadron before? In 1990, they went looking for those airplanes. They found them using ground-penetrating radar because they were 263 feet below the surface since World War II. They found them using a radar machine, and they located a P-38, and they melted a hole down to get to it. As they melted the hole down, got down deeper and deeper, and they finally hit the airplane, melted a big hole, and took the airplane apart, and brought the pieces up through the hole, took them all back to Middleboro, Kentucky, and put it together. It finally flew in the fall of 2002, I believe, was the first time it flew again. The P-38 from World War II. I talked to the guy who dug out the airplane. His name is Bob Carden. I said, now, Bob, that airplane was in the ground for 48 years. It was 263 feet down. That's 5.5 feet a year. The deepest hole the guy's ever drilled looking for ice cores is 10,000 feet. You divide that by 5.5, you get 1,800 years. What happened to the 135,000? Now, I know deeper layers get squished. They turn to glacial fern. Okay, so really 44, like the Bible says, 4,400 years, that's plenty of time to account for the ice. So I went and met Bob, talked to him. There's his phone number if you don't believe me. I said, Bob, you dug the airplane out, is that right? He said, yes, sir, there was a crew of us, but I was on that crew. I said, Bob, when you melted down to get to the airplane, did you melt through ice rings? He said, oh, yeah, there were many hundreds of them. I said, wait a minute, how do you get hundreds of annual rings in 48 years? Looks to me like there should be 48 of them. He said, oh, no, there were hundreds. See, those aren't annual rings, folks. Those rings represent, they don't represent summer, winter, summer, winter. It represents warm, cold, warm, cold, warm, cold. You can get five of those in one day around here, can't you? Yeah. But here's a guy from Scientific American, still calling them annual rings. Now, either he's ignorant or he's a liar. I hope he's just ignorant, because ignorance can be fixed. Stupid is forever. By the way, that's the difference. Here's a guy from Alaska wrote me a letter. Said, Brother Hovind, I work with the Eskimos up here. He said, I got 15 layers of snow on my car in 8 hours. Not 15 inches, 15 distinct layers of snow. Eskimos have over 40 words for snow. What else is there to talk about? Yeah. The kids are taught in school that each of the layers of the earth is a different age. This is pure baloney. Those layers all formed in the flood in the days of Noah. All over the world, petrified trees are found standing up, connecting those layers. There's a bunch of pictures on our website, drdino.com. Go there and check out the article about petrified polystrata fossils. It does not take long for things to petrify. Things can petrify quickly. Mount St. Helens blew trees into Spirit Lake. Many are already beginning to petrify in 20 years. Here's a piece of petrified firewood. Here's a petrified dog found inside a tree when they cut it down for firewood in Georgia. They said, wait a minute, don't cut that tree up. There's a dog inside. Petrified, turned to stone. Here's a petrified fish giving birth. Doesn't take millions of years to give birth. Petrified cowboy boot with the cowboy's legs still in it. Articles on the table down here called the Limestone Cowboy. We'll cover lots more on rapid petrification on video number 6. The Mississippi River. I did a debate the other night in Mississippi. That's what they call it, Mississippi. It means the Mississippi River is depositing sediment at the rate of 80,000 tons every hour. 80,000 tons of mud per hour go down the Mississippi and dump off in New Orleans. That delta is growing larger and larger and larger. Well, they've studied the delta pretty carefully. They say it probably took about 30,000 years to put all that mud out there. Okay, well then I have a question. If the earth is millions of years old, why isn't the whole Gulf of Mexico full of mud by now? They're going to say, hey, it's 30,000, the Bible says 6,000, that proves the Bible's wrong. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, no, it doesn't. I got a theory about that delta. Here's my theory. I believe about 6,000 years ago, God made everything. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. As the flood water was running off, about half of that mud washed out in 20 minutes. So it looks like it took 30,000 years. They forgot the flood. A friend of mine from Louisiana said, Brother Hogan, I was working in the oil field before I pastored a church. And he said, I used to go out in the Gulf of Mexico and drill holes looking for oil. He said, we drilled through 14,000 feet of mud and hit trees 60 feet tall. The flood runoff formed most of the erosion out in the Gulf of Mexico. Here's a picture of the oldest tree in the world. The oldest tree in the world is a bristlecone pine. It's 4,300 years old, according to this textbook. Earth's oldest organism. Now, some people say, oh, no, we counted one as 4,600 years old. Well, trees do not always produce one ring a year. It's very common for them to produce two rings a year. Okay, so tree ring dating is not an exact science, but 4,300 years old, oldest living tree. That's interesting. If the Earth is millions of years old, why don't we have an older tree someplace? Why is the oldest tree 4,300 years old? Well, I have a theory about that. Here's my theory. I believe about 6,000 years ago, God made everything. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. Destroyed everything. So the oldest tree ought to be around 4,400 years old. Unless, of course, one floated for a few months in the flood and rerouted. That's possible, I suppose. So I don't have a problem with the oldest tree, folks. It fits the Bible theory perfectly. This is a picture of a coral reef. You know, the largest reef in the world is in Australia. It's called the Great Barrier Reef. I had a call from a church in Brisbane. They said, would you like to come preach over here? I said, I need to pray about this. He said, yes. I got to go take my family to Australia. I got to go scuba diving with my daughter at the Great Barrier Reef. It was incredible. During World War II, some of the reef was destroyed by ships and anchors and bombs and stuff like that. So the environmentalist wackos went out there to see how fast it grows back. They watched it grow for 20 years. It was a government project. Based on a 20-year study of the Great Barrier Reef, they said it's less than 4,200 years old. That's interesting. But I have a question. If the Earth is millions of years old, why don't we have a bigger reef someplace? Why is the biggest reef less than 4,200 years old? Well, I have a theory about that. I bet you know what it is, don't you? You can figure it out. Here's a picture of Niagara Falls. I was just up there last week, actually, at Niagara Falls. The textbook says, boys and girls, the rocky ledge above Niagara Falls has been eroding for 9,900 years. How do they know that? Well, the water goes over the edge and it breaks off the rocks, and the waterfall is moving backwards. All waterfalls do this, okay? It's eroding backwards. Actually, the museum guide tells us it's eroding backwards 4.7 feet a year. It was until they diverted most of the water for hydroelectric power. Now they can actually shut off the falls if they want, change the water to a new channel. But up until about the 1930s, 4.7 feet a year. Charles Lyell went there in 1841 and said, boy, Niagara Falls is way back there. It obviously used to be up here. Niagara Falls is moving back down that gully. Pretty obvious to anybody. That gully's 7 miles long. Now, Lyell said, it's 10,000 years to erode all that. Later, he changed it to 35,000 years. The people who lived there said, Charlie, it erodes a whole lot faster than that. Now, Charles Lyell's the guy that wrote this book right here, Principles of Geology. Charles Lyell did not like the Bible at all. He was looking for some way to discredit the Bible. This is the book that destroyed Darwin's faith, by the way. We get into a whole lot more of that on video number 4 about Charles Lyell's book. But he made up these numbers purposely to try to discredit the Bible. He knew, though, that Niagara Falls put a time limit. There was a limit to how long it could have been eroding. It runs over the falls into the gully, 7 miles long. This textbook says it took seven and a half miles. It took 9,900 years to make that. Oh, I don't think it's quite that simple. See, Niagara Falls is right there. It used to be further north. It's eroding south. Well, if the Earth is millions of years old, why hasn't it eroded back to Lake Erie by now? Why is Niagara Falls right there? Well, I have a theory about that. Now, here's my theory. I believe about 6,000 years ago, God made everything. 4,400 years ago, there was a flood. As the flood water was running off, about half of that gully washed out in 20 minutes. Because you had lots more water and soft rock. Hadn't hardened yet, remember, from the flood? It erodes much quicker when it's soft. So it might look like it took 9,900 years. No, they forgot the flood. They also forgot to get their numbers right. It should have been 8,400 had they used the right divider, but oh well. Public school textbook, what do you expect? You know, when it rains, 30% of the water runs into the ocean, bringing with it mineral salts. The oceans are getting saltier every day. Today, they're 3.6% salt. They could have done that in a few thousand years. So the question would be, if the oceans are millions of years old, why aren't they saltier like the Great Salt Lake, the Dead Sea, Salton Sea? Why only 3.6%? One atheist I debated one time said, "Hoban, if you believe that flood, would you please tell me how the freshwater fish survived the flood?" I said, "Well, sir, aren't you assuming the flood was salt water?" He said, "The ocean is salt water." I said, "Well, yeah, it is today. But I suspect during the flood, it was mostly fresh water. It might have been, you know, tangled up mess a little bit with the flood going on, but I think mostly fresh water. And I think the oceans have gradually become saltier, and some animals have actually adapted to salt water. And today we have freshwater crocodiles and saltwater crocodiles. And they probably had a common ancestor. A crocodile." He said, "See, that's evolution." I said, "Oh, it is not. Going from a freshwater croc to a saltwater croc is a minor change compared to what you believe. So you believe they changed from a rock to a croc. That would be a major change." How many of you have ever gone into a cave and the guide said, "Don't touch the formations, they take millions of years to form"? they got the same speech at every cave, don't they? Go to Carlsbad. It took 250 million years with tiny drops of water. They say it takes 1,000 years to grow 1 inch. I don't think so. Here are some 50-inch stalactites growing under the Lincoln Memorial. It was built in 1922. Here's a bat covered up with flowstone. Didn't even have time to rot. He was preserved by stalagmites, which grow even slower. Here's 2-inch stalactites growing off a refrigeration shed in Pensacola, Florida. There's a building in Indiana. It was only open for 40 years, and the basement was getting full of flowstone formations in 40 years. This picture shows the inside of a cave that was shut down for 55 years in Australia. It's now full of stalagmites, stalactites, ribbons, columns. In 55 years, there are 2 people inside that circle for scale. There's a 13-inch stalactite growing off a pipe, dripping water in a building built 7 years before this picture was taken, in Herbert Field, near Pensacola, Florida. On the bottom was a stalagmite. They broke it off and gave it to me. 7 years. It's in my museum. In Texas, they built a place for cars to park for the University of Texas in Austin. They had to put a pan up to catch the drips because there's stalagmites growing on people's cars parking underneath them. A guy in Wyoming had a hot spring in his property. He stuck a pipe in it about 100 years ago. The water came out the pipe and ran down the sides. They called it the teepee fountain. And everybody thought, "Wow, that's cool. He's got a fountain in his yard." Well, as the water ran down the side, some of it evaporated, leaving behind mineral deposits. How many have seen those mineral deposits in your sink before? Here, the guy died, and they left the pipe sticking in the yard. Here it is, 100 years later. That would take some lime away, wouldn't it? Don't tell me it takes millions of years for these formations to form. It does not. You're confused or you're lying to somebody, because it doesn't. The guy down the road put a pipe in his yard later. It's not quite as big, but still, pretty impressive. At the current rate of erosion, the continents are going to erode flat. Be gone in 14 million years. We have landslides, mudslides, ground creep, mass wasting, exfoliation, avalanches. Does the ground ever fall up? It's always down, isn't it? Well, then why do they tell us we've got fossils that are 300 times older than that still above sea level? One atheist said, "Hoban, don't you know the crust of the earth is sometimes rising, sometimes sinking? You know, you get volcanoes. Terry Rock? Well, no. Well, that's where fossils are found, folks. Sedimentary rock. Think about it. You can drive out west or fly out west and just look out the window of your airplane once in a while. There are erosion patterns all over this planet that are incredibly huge in places where it hardly ever rains. Grand Canyon had to be formed in a matter of a few weeks. There are ripple marks that are a mile apart. Huge ripple marks in southern Iraq. Evidence of a massive amount of water moving rapidly. A flood is the best explanation for this. Zagros Mountains. The oldest languages in the world are about 6,000 years old, less than 6,000 years old. But that fits what the Bible says. The Chinese calendar says this is the year 4703. Of course, they might have started with Noah. As far as Noah was concerned, the flood was a one-year cruise. It didn't start his life, you know. Or Shem lived 100 years before the flood. Might have started with Shem. I don't know what they started with, but they think Fuhai is the father of their civilization. Hebrew calendar said this is the year 5763. Question. Why are there no historical, reliable records back more than 5,000 or 6,000 years old? I wouldn't trust the Egyptian calendar. They stretch all sorts of things in the Egyptian calendar. Folks, the evidence for a young Earth is overwhelming, but the students are never shown this. They're only shown the Earth is billions of years old because they have to have billions of years to fit their theory. And I think there's a long, interesting reason why they're only shown one view. They're afraid the kids might come up with a philosophy like our founding fathers have. You know, belief in creation. And if folks start believing in creation, like our founding fathers, they don't make good slaves. The Declaration of Independence said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. They're endowed by their Creator with certain rights. If you get a bunch of guys together who believe they have rights that come from the Creator, those guys don't make good slaves. They're going to throw the tea in the harbor and start a big war. Right? And there are some folks who would like everybody to believe in evolution because that's part of a major part of the plan toward a new world order. You have to keep the people, you know, like cows, you have to keep them kind of submissive. But 75% of kids from Christian homes that go to public schools are losing their faith in the Bible. Largely because of this evolution teaching. That's exactly what happened to Crawford Toy. Most folks have never even heard of Crawford Toy. They know about the girl he almost married. Her name was Lottie Moon. She became a great missionary to China. The Southern Baptists today still have the Lottie Moon offerings every Christmas. Crawford Toy went to Europe and studied evolution. He began to believe it. He came back and told his seminary class. He was a seminary professor. He said, folks, the Bible intends to teach a plain six-day creation. The Bible is simply an error at that point. Now listen, you seminary professors, if you're going to teach your kids the Bible's not true, why don't you quit that job and go get an honest job picking peaches or changing tires and quit destroying the faith of kids coming through your class? Yeah. Crawford thought the Bible must have an error in it. Well, Crawford, maybe your theory has an error in it, huh? Maybe you got brainwashed. Hey, folks, it's very easy to get brainwashed. I'm going to try to brainwash the whole crowd, and then we're going to quit and take a break. Maybe you've never been brainwashed before. It's a harmless procedure. I will tell you a little story. As I tell the story, I will brainwash you, or try to. If you know the answer to the questions, it's probably because you saw my seminar before. If you don't know the answer, it's because you have been successfully brainwashed. Here goes. Now pay attention. Here's the story. Very simple. Once upon a time, a man left home jogging. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways, turned left, and jogged back home. As he was jogging home, he noticed two masked men were waiting for him at home. Who were the masked men? And why did he leave home jogging? If you know for sure, raise your hand. There's a few of you. Okay. The rest of you, pay attention. Let's try it again. Once upon a time, a man left home jogging. He jogged a little ways and turned left. I'll give you a hint. That's important. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways, turned left, and jogged back home. As he was jogging home, he noticed two masked men were waiting for him at home. Who were the masked men, and why did he leave home jogging? Did anybody new figure it out? One more. Okay. The rest of you, pay attention. We're going to try this one more time. But now I'm going to unbrainwash you. See, you didn't realize it, but you got brainwashed in about the first 5 seconds. And right now you're brainwashed, but you're going to feel yourself get unbrainwashed as I tell the story again, because this time, while I tell the story, I will show you a picture. This picture will unbrainwash you. It's a cool feeling. You can feel it coming. Wow, I get it. Here goes. Now pay attention. Once upon a time, a man left home jogging. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways and turned left. He jogged a little ways, turned left, and jogged back home. As he was jogging home, he noticed there were two masked men waiting for him at home. Who were the masked men? To catch any umpire. You say, Brother Hovind, is it that easy to get brainwashed? Yep. As soon as I said a man left home, he started thinking about a house. And for the rest of the story, you couldn't figure out who those guys were. You see, if you get somebody off track in the first few seconds, you got them. Would you like to see how thousands of kids get brainwashed in your county every year? Thousands of them. Here's how it works. It's so simple. The kids go to kindergarten and they get a book like this. I can read about dinosaurs. Would anybody like to just take a wild guess at what the first sentence in the book says? Millions of years ago. How did you know? You think there's any books like this in your public library? How about your public school library? How about on TV, Nature Channel, Discovery Channel? Oh, yeah. Even Dr. Seuss says millions of years before you were born. Millions of years ago, dinosaurs roamed the earth. Hey, that's calling Jesus a liar. Jesus said the creation of Adam was the beginning. The Bible says there was no death till Adam sinned. We've got a serious difference here, folks, in belief systems. Some people say, now hold on a minute. If the Bible's right, the Bible says they lived to be 900 years old. I mean, how's that possible? Why, they lived to be 900. And what about the dinosaurs? Where do they fit in? Well, we covered that on video number 3. Dinosaurs fit in just fine with the Bible view. They've always lived with man. But listen, kids, carefully. Some teacher gets up and says, okay, kid, you started like a slime and you slowly became a human. That's a philosophy that's going to destroy your faith. Don't believe that for a second. Bible says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of man and the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. Hey, question. If a kid goes 12 or 16 years to school in your town, how will he view the world? Probably like it came here from evolution. Bible says, in the beginning, God created. Now, if the Bible's right about the beginning, maybe it's right about the end. Maybe it's right when it says, if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you're going to hell. He that hath not the Son hath not life. The wrath of God abides on him. Let's summarize here and we'll quit. Number 1, God made this world. Number 2, He owns it. Number 3, He makes the rules whether you like it or not. It belongs to Him. Number 4, we are all guilty of breaking His rules. Paul said, I have not known sin but by the law. God gave us the law to show us we're sinners. Here are the 10 commandments. He said pretty clearly in commandment number 9, thou shalt not bear false witness. Don't lie. How many of you have ever told a lie in your life? Put your hand up. Come on, put your hand up or you're doing another one. Robin, get your hand up there. Okay, don't give me that. Don't give me that pious look, all right? Number 8, thou shalt not steal. How many ever stole something? Come on, you already told me you're a liar. Put your hand up, okay? Okay, let's get it straight now. So far we know we're all a bunch of lying thieves, right? You want to read the whole list and see how we're doing? It's not too good, okay? So we're all guilty of breaking His laws, which means we're going to have to be punished, or you better find a substitute. And if you think your good works are going to take care of your bad ones, you are really deceived. What if you went to the judge and said, Your Honor, I only killed one person. Look at all the people I didn't kill. My good works outweigh my bad. You think He's dumb enough to fall for that? God's not going to punish you for your good works. Only for the bad ones. And the wages of one sin is death, so you're in trouble. Real serious trouble. That's why we better find a substitute. So February 9, 1969, I said, Lord, I am a sinner. I deserve to go to hell, and I know you died in my place, and I'd like you to forgive me and save me right now. I prayed and asked the Lord to save me, and he made me one of his kids. And now if I do something wrong, it's a different matter. See, God was going to be my judge, but now he's my father. It's very different. If my kid commits a crime, breaks the window on the house, I'm not going to call the cops. It's a family matter. We're going to settle this in the family. Now, if the neighbor kid breaks the window, I might have to call the cops. You know, you might have to involve the law because he's not my child. But once you become God's child, it's treated very differently when you sin. It's a family matter, not a judicial matter. How about you? Are you in the family?